save the earth.
The Green Divas.
With style and mirth.
The Green Divas.
Got your every need.
The Green Divas.
To keep you healthy and green.
The Green Divas.
They got green dudes too.
The Green Divas.
With more green news. You got to believe us. Listen to the Green Divas. Green Divas Radio Show.
Hey, welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. I'm Green Diva Meg.
I'm Green Diva Lynn.
She is. And you are. And you are. And you're going to be hearing this while we're in sunny Del Mar, California. Lynn's already out there. So we're divided across the U.S., man, covering it all.
Coast to coast, baby.
Oh, there you go. Coast to coast. Wasn't there a show called Coast to Coast, a radio show?
Probably.
Anyway, we have, as always, a fabulous show. But, you know, every week it feels more special than the last, doesn't it?
It's phenomenal all the time.
I don't know. That sounded like you didn't believe it, but I know you meant
it. No, it really is very phenomenal.
No, I mean it. I mean it. I
meant it with enthusiasm.
I'm just on California.
I'm still jet lagged. You'll have to excuse me.
Yeah.
By the time this airs, I won't be.
Yeah, that's all right. You're excused.
Time change, the time zone change. I mean, I'm suffering here.
Oh, and I'm just getting like spring fever because it's, you know, not 20 below and it's sunny out.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yay.
Beautiful. It warmed up right as I left Chicago. It's like 50 degrees. And I wanted it to be 20 below when I left, so I'd feel like
right.
I was really getting away from winter. So
really?
I could see.
Yeah.
Not because of the people that live there. What can I say?
Yeah. So let's talk about what we have coming up on the show today. We have a very special feature, Summer Rain Oaks.
She is a fabulous eco model, and she's got many, many other accomplishments. She's an author. She co-founded Source for Style.
Yeah,
which connects designers to sustainable materials in 38 countries around the world.
She's just amazing. And she's also doing this really very, very good podcast, which we're hoping to woo her onto GDGD Radio, the Idea Nosh, which she's just started, and it's very good. She's just so fun to talk to. We really had a good time with her. I did. And
she's a good egg.
You're going to want to listen to that and get inspired. And of course, our favorite Michael Green, you gave up your My Earth 360 spot because, you know, I had heard. Now, listen, you and I are pretty up to date on most of this stuff, and we talk about BPA free, and we've talked to him about it a couple of times. But I heard a story about EA free and this whole lawsuit that was going on about this plastic company that was claiming estrogen something free. And I thought, wait, how do I not know about this? I guess. So we called our man, Michael Green, and said, what gives? What is this? And he told us.
Something you have to listen to.
Yeah. No, it's important stuff. And he's so good at helping explain what this is all about. And, of course, it's April when – it's just about April, you know, when you hear this. So Allie did our April gardening segment. And, oh, my gosh, I can't wait to get out there and play.
Yeah, I need to get a green thumb first, I guess.
You got other green bits. It's okay.
I guess I can't be, you know, green with everything.
It's hard to do it all, Green Diva Lynn. It really is.
I know.
So, you know, you can come play in my garden anytime.
Okay.
You know, because I'll probably need help. But then we talked also because spring is traditionally spring cleaning time. We talked with Rachel Sarnoff, who is Mommy Greenest.
She talked about 7 shortcuts to healthy cleaning, right?
Yes. So, you know, she talked about why it's important and some of the really basic things we can do to clean up our cleaning act, as it were. So I just want to also say to everybody, I'm pitching again because I'm so excited about our app.
I know.
For the smart and semi-smart phones. Download it, rate it, listen to it, share it, enjoy it, and, you know, get hip and green.
Yeah, it's you just search GDGD Radio. Boom, there it is.
On all the platforms, as far as I know, I think it, you know, covers everything.
Right.
Whether you're on Android or iPhone or BlackBerry, and surprisingly, there's a lot of BlackBerry still out there.
Yes, indeed. Well, and one of the GDG radio shows is Earth Matters, which is also on this show.
Yes.
We always have a little spot of his.
Yes, with Bill Curtis.
Our show. Uh-huh.
The Voice.
Back to the fun GDGD.com, though, we have some great eco totes. Eco-friendly totes that are really, they're very practical.
Well, they're all organic, and they're sustainably made, and they're much bigger than you think. Like, they seem like, oh, it's kind of a cute bag, and then you, like, it opens out into this, like, gigantic square, and you're like, whoa!
It's like magic.
It's a magic bag. And we can, you can get it for a reasonable price.
You can have an empty one.
An empty one, or... have it filled up with goodies. We have all kinds of goodies that we can put in there for you. So please go to fundggd.com. We have not given that up, and we really, really still need your help to help get the word out, to amplify the voices of green reason, of sustainable reason, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of other cool perks. So check it out. Or, you know, if you don't want a perk, you can just give cash.
Yeah, we're okay with that.
Give a dollar amount.
We're okay with that. You know, $10, $100, $1,000, whatever works.
A million.
I'm good with that.
We would give a special shout out to anyone that gives $1 million.
Special. We'll fly there and thank them personally.
Take you to dinner.
Well, listen, please stay tuned for this wonderful Green Divas radio show, and enjoy. Overwhelmed by environmental news? Listen to the Green Divas My Earth 360 Report for the latest eco-news bits from around the globe, carefully curated and borne by our need to say, WTF! But we also love to share encouraging stories and, of course, ways that you can make your voice count for the Earth. It's not just my Earth, it's our Earth, and together we can make a difference. Okay, so aren't we lucky that Michael Green, the executive director of CEH, which is the Center for Environmental Health, agreed to call us kind of on short notice. I just, you know, I wake up every morning, my alarm is set to Morning Edition on NPR, National Public Radio, if people don't know what that is, and I woke up to this news story the other day, and they were talking about this lawsuit, and they're talking about not only BPA-free plastic, but they mentioned this term EA-free, estrogenic-free or estrogen-free plastic. And I thought, oh, this sounds like something we've talked about with Michael. But for some reason, I had never heard that term. So I said, Michael, talk to us. Hi, Michael.
Hi. So glad to be here.
So, yeah, I know we've talked a lot about this, but for some reason, I was ignorant of this term. Is this a new term that we need to be looking for?
Well, I didn't want to wonk out on you and the people who are listening, so...
That's okay.
But now I'm being invited to wonk out, which, of course, I love to do.
Please, so wonk
do
away.
Now. All right. So what we're seeing in the landscape is not a surprise, and that is that the context is that people in industry have things that they know they don't want to use. Lead. They don't want to expose their customers to lead. And more recently, BPA. And when they decided, okay, let's get BPA out of, at first it was sippy cups and baby bottles, and then other things that we might be exposed to. Can linings is starting to happen. Receipts is starting to happen. You know, food can linings.
Yeah.
What they're not really looking at is what is the potential toxicity of what we're replacing it with. They are making a choice to eliminate something that they know is bad for their business, for their brand, for their sales possibly, and replacing it with something that won't be bad for those things because it's unknown.
Right. So, you know, and also, so they're only really, it's like whack-a-mole, right? You know, okay, so there's awareness here. Let's look at it. Oh, no, it's not good. Let's put that down and just move on to all these thousands of other chemicals.
Right. So now let's dive into the question of EA that you asked. So what's the problem with BPA? The problem with BPA, or the biggest problem, the most well-known problem with BPA, is that it is an estrogen mimicker. So your body, when your body has BPA in it, it thinks, oh, that's estrogen. And estrogen is a hormone, which means it's a chemical messenger. So it tells your body to do special things. Grow fat cells. Don't grow fat cells. Grow breasts. Don't grow breasts.
I was going to say,
All the different things that hormones do, and they're in minute amounts. But the messengers are in minute amounts to trigger your body to start to do different things. So when you hear, for example, that BPA is an obesogen, now I'm totally wonking out.
Wow.
That means that it will potentially make you fat, because that estrogen, that your body starting to take certain actions, thinking, oh, here comes a messenger, and the message says, store more cells, don't let any cells go, have an outcome, right?
Yeah.
So, for example. So now when they take out the BPA and they replace it with something else that has similar properties, in this case maybe that it's clear and hard and helps the plastic to be more durable and those things, they're going to look for something that is similar. So they may look for a chemical that is a chemical cousin that's just like it in so many different ways, and is just the molecule is just a little bit different. And in fact, in the receipts, because there's BPA in the receipts that you get when you go to the grocery store,
yeah,
the replacement chemical for BPA in receipts to date is BPS, bisphenol S instead of bisphenol A.
Okay.
And so that doesn't necessarily mean it's bad just because it's a chemical cousin, but it means that we should investigate it.
Yeah.
But industry doesn't have any incentive to investigate it. They actually have a disincentive to know, because if they don't know, they don't have any liability,
yeah,
and there's no problem. So here's what we found when we tested a whole bunch of sippy cups that were BPA-free. We found some of them were estrogenically active.
Yeah.
They were, you know, and some of them were estrogenically inactive, which you have heard that article on NPR where they refer to that as EA-free.
Yes.
Estrogenic activity-free.
And by the way, doing my homework, I found an article that included you from last year in Mother Jones.
Right. So
I know you've been on this for a while. I'm just catching up, man.
No problem. So, yeah, and in that story, the reporter came over on Halloween, and my daughter, who I battle with over which sippy cup she can drink out of,
right,
was dressed up in her costume, and we were about to go trick-or-treating. And her costume was prominently featured in that article, which was great fun for my family.
Yeah.
But the real issue isn't what chemical is in it, because we don't know enough about all the chemicals in commerce. There's 84,000
right,
chemicals in commerce. The real issue is, what are the health effects of what's in it? And so what the Center for Environmental Health did is, we didn't test these sippy cups for a particular chemical. We tested it for a particular outcome. And so we tested it with human cells to find out, does it mimic estrogen and cause the body to do different things? So the way we did that was, we worked with three different labs, and we tested 30 different sippy cups, and we found the ones that were the most estrogenically active were the ones that were color changing, that when you poured the milk in it, it changed color. So we don't know exactly what that means, but we're telling people don't let your kids drink out of those cups.
So,
but what we do know is, unfortunately, kind of what we suspected, which is that there's not a good way to figure it out. There's not a good way to know which plastics and which synthetic materials are going to trick your body into taking particular actions because they think it's estrogen.
And it's not, I mean, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, so we're catching on to the estrogenic activity of some of this stuff. But that's just one potential trigger and consequence, right? I mean, there might be 100 other things. There might be, coronary, triggers in there. What do we know?
At least 100. And that's, estrogen is just one of the hormones. And so even when we finish with the hormones, then there's all these other things. So it's a shell game. It's a toxic shell game.
Yeah.
And here's what they're doing. They're making a conscious choice. We're going to take out the thing that nobody wants to be exposed to anymore, and we're going to replace it with something else. We don't know the health impacts. And our plan is If it turns out that people are getting sick from it, we'll switch again. That's the plan. We'll switch again. And that's messed up because we're doing a science experiment on all of us.
It's
an intentional but unplanned science experiment.
Well, I don't like that. And I think that's exactly why you do what you do, because you're trying to help not only make sense of it for us, but to help affect change in the system and greater awareness through legislation and companies, you know, processes, right?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, can I just whine for a minute about, like, why? Why is this stuff in receipts? Now, I know so much that I go to the store and I'm like, would you like your receipt in the bag? I'm like, just keep it, man. I don't want it. I just, it's so upsetting to me. Why is it there? Why?
Well, because the market calls for particular things, and that's how capitalism works. So in this case, the market calls for a receipt that comes out right away, that the ink doesn't come off on your fingers, that's not hot,
okay.
It's cheap. Well, those are the criteria.
All right, but I'm just saying out loud, I'm going to start crying for something else, and I want other people to start speaking up because it's just stupid.
So I'm with you. And, you know, it's different in the EU. And right now, the Republicans and a couple Democrats I'm not happy with are actually trying to create policy in Washington that would preempt states from taking action on this kind of thing, and would then they would then go to the EU and say, "You got to stop regulating chemicals so strictly. You got to do what we're doing."
Really? And you think the EU is going to agree to that?
Well, it's trade negotiations. Trade negotiations are a tough, hardball world.
You know, and I just did a really interesting, it's a whole different topic, but on all this backroom trade agreements that are like, what? Don't even get me going on that. So, thank you. I think there's a lot of clarification in some ways, and then in other ways, it's like, holy moly, there's so much.
Can I solve the problem?
Yeah, please.
Use natural materials.
Glass, stainless steel, hello.
Yep. Even wood, ceramic,
yeah.
All those things.
Yeah.
All those things that when we were kids, that was what was in our house, which was, you know, the plates were ceramic,
yeah.
Ours still are. You know, the bowls were either ceramic or maybe wood. I mean, the only problem, wood's really nice, but you can't put it in the dishwasher.
Yeah.
You know, or glass or stainless steel.
Yeah. That is what I prefer and do with almost everything now. All my containers and my, you know, travel containers, whatever. That's what I'm opting for. All that plastic is. Yeah, I mean, it's not like it can be completely plastic free. We've had this discussion too. It's like it's just impossible. But I can minimize it, and I can minimize my family's exposure by using cups that are made of glass or ceramic or wood or whatever, stainless steel. Thank you again, as always, Michael Green, and I look forward to talking to you soon. And again, thank you for the work you're doing on our behalf.
Thank you for letting people know about it.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Talk to you soon.
Get all the details from this Green Divas My Earth 360 report and lots more on thegreendivas.com. That's T-H-E, greendivas.com, and myearth360.com. Looking for low-stress ways to create a healthier, non-toxic environment in your home? The Green Divas make it fun and easy with useful information for making a beautiful and eco-friendly Green Diva home.
Wow, and we need this. You know, a lot of us have been cooped up inside our homes for the winter, those of us in the cold Northwest. So, you know, I start looking at the dust piles. I'm like, okay, I got to get busy cleaning. And it's going to be a great segment with one of our favorite Green Divas, Rachel Sarnoff, MommyGreenest.com. She's the founder of Mommy Greenest. Hi, Rachel.
Hi. Great to talk to you again, Meg.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm staring at the dust piles, and this is a great subject as we're, you know, heading into spring soon. I'm being optimistic here in New Jersey, but tell us, give us some good tips for green and healthy cleaning.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because you say you're looking at the dust piles, but that's really actually not what I'm worried about at all. You can have all the dust you want.
Yeah, awesome.
Although, you know, granted, with that said, you know, dust can contribute to asthma and allergies, so let's just put that on the table. But no, but what, you know, what I'm really concerned about at mommygreenest.com is talking with people about just the idea that, you know, that you need to use really caustic chemicals to get your house clean.
This
is something that's really, you know, sort of a post-World War II idea.
Yeah.
You know, my great-grandmother cleaned with olive oil, baking soda, and vinegar, and the people have been cleaning like that for years and years.
Yep.
And so all of a sudden, people making cleansers and cleaners realized that they could make a whole lot of money if they manufactured those things for very little money, and then convinced us that we needed special types of cleaners for special types of cleaning. And,
right.
You know, I don't know about you, but like my house when I was a kid, you know, I knew it was clean when it smelled like fake lemons and fake pine.
Yeah.
And the weird plug-in, you know, like fake flowers.
You know, and it's funny, I can't even stand that kind of smell anymore. I'm very sensitive to that toxic smell now.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is true that once you kind of detox your home from chemical cleaners and also toxic chemical cleaners.
Yeah.
And also synthetic fragrances.
Right.
From not only your home but also the things that you're putting on your body, you do become more sensitive to those synthetic fragrances that are in a lot of those toxic chemical cleaners. So when I'm talking with people about, you know, green cleaning, I'm really talking about cleaning out their cleaners.
Right? Yeah.
And there's some pretty quick and easy ways to do that. First of all, you want to look at your labels. Here are the short list of things to really avoid. Ammonia, chlorine. Okay, I'm going to not pronounce this right. NPEs, which are non-acetyl SO oxalate.
No way, man. I was letting you have that. Oh, man.
TEA, hydrochloric acid, sodium hydroxide, or sulfuric acid. Also, I put on there triclosan.
Yes,
Triclosan is a pesticide, and it's been linked to all kinds of things from reduced immunity, which is ironic because people put it in hand sanitizers and use it during flu season. But, you know, get that out of your
and it's an endocrine inhibitor, and it affects animal wildlife through the water. I mean, it's like a nightmare.
It's bad stuff. Yeah, and there's moves. I think it's banned in Minnesota. There's moves actually right now to potentially ban it on a national level, which would be great.
As it should be.
Yeah. So that's a short list. But the first thing really to look for are any labels that show warning, danger, or skull and crossbones. Are not things you should be cleaning.
You know, you'd think that would be obvious, but then when you look at something, like, why? Why would I clean with this?
Right. And, you know, you've got a ton of commercials telling you that things need to sparkle and that the reason that they need to sparkle is from, you know, very caustic chemicals. And the truth is, you really, once you start cleaning your house, I clean my whole house with vinegar.
Yeah.
You know?
Once
you start cleaning with natural ingredients and products, you really realize, you know, wow, you can get things as clean and you don't have any danger to your health, which is great. But the other thing that I, you know, try to encourage people to avoid are artificial fragrances. So we kind of touched on that earlier. But, you know, those can contain, like, if something, if you turn over a label and it says, you know, perfume or fragrance, you know, they can contain hundreds of individual chemical ingredients. And most of them are phthalates. And that's, you know, you touched on that. But those have been linked to hormonal disruption. So, you know, the research is just, like, there's a lot of studies that support this idea. But I tend to feel like we're just at the tipping point of knowledge here. You know, because all of our rates of illnesses linked to, you know, all of our rates of illness is linked to hormones specifically are going up, you know, and these phthalates, which many of them act like estrogen in your body, and you look at the, you know, how your body acts when it, you know, when it thinks it's estrogen, what happens? We have early puberty.
And do we really need any more hormones running amok?
Related? Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't.
Anyway,
avoiding fragrance is a great way to avoid phthalates. Artificial fragrance. You know, the challenge with cleaning products is they're not required to put on their labels what's in them. So you really have to do your homework. EWG.org is a great nonprofit. They have a cleaners database that you can check out.
Oh, we reference them all the time.
I know, they're wonderful. And then when you do decide to dispose of these products, you cannot throw them in the trash. Many of them are toxic, and they have to be disposed of as toxic substances. So a good way to find out how to do that is go to earth911.org.
Yes.
And you can find out where to safely dispose of
those
products.
Love those folks too. Yeah, I discovered a recipe. I just made it up for like a vinegar. Like I was making a glass cleaner, and it worked brilliantly. And I put a little bit of essential oil. It smells good, works good. I use it on everything.
I've seen all these recipes always where you dilute the vinegar. I actually have been until recently using it straight, although I did recently read some information that made me realize that using pure vinegar that's not diluted, inhaling it is not so great for you. So dilute it and add essential oils. You know, my kids, they just like I thought the smell of baked pine was clean, they think the smell of vinegar is clean.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
what I mean? Like we've changed the paradigm in my home.
I love it.
And I like the way vinegar smells, but a lot of people don't.
Yeah, I do.
Great.
I would be very happy smelling like a salad all the time.
Yes.
It's okay. It's okay for me.
Maybe not as perfume, but definitely to clean my windows.
I'd be like, oh, she's so yummy. She's like salad. Well, awesome. Awesome tips, and I know you have a lot more of this stuff on mommygreenest.com, and you always share posts with us, I think, too.
Yeah, there's a lot on cleaners. You know, I think that's one of the main ways, that and food, are one of the main ways that people are exposed to potentially toxic chemicals. So, I think cleaners, it's a great place to start. If you're looking to do a green clean of your home, starting with your cleaners is a really, really good place to start.
Excellent, excellent
and
segment.
And it can save you a ton of money, too. Whole house for like a quarter. You don't need all those, 12 different types of sprays that you're lugging around your house.
Really, it's liberating, I tell you.
It is.
All right.
Is.
Thank you so much, Rachel. We'll
Thank
talk
you.
To you soon. Bye-bye.
Yeah, great to talk with you. Bye.
Find out more about this Green Divas at Home segment and lots of other great low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green at thegreendivas.com. That's T-H-E, greendivas.com.
From the surface, they look clean enough, the rivers that run through the cities and towns of America. But a recent study by the EPA shows that high levels of phosphorus and nitrogen are putting the 1.2 million miles of streams and rivers surveyed under stress. More after this.
Everyone wants to be a part of the green movement, and that's a great thing. Going green takes on a whole new meaning when you add tall grass beef to your family's dinner table. It's tender and juicy, and since the cattle graze on the natural grasslands of Kansas, it's also loaded with essential fatty acids and omega-3s that regular grain-fed beef lacks. It's good for you and your family, and good for the earth. For more information and to order tall grass beef online, go to www.tallgrassbeef.com.
The past 44 years have brought stricter regulations on what corporations can dump into our waterways, but the latest EPA study shows that 55% of the streams and rivers surveyed are not suitable for aquatic life, mostly due to fertilizer runoff, rendering these arteries of Earth sterile. You can do your part by using organic fertilizers on your lawn and in the garden, because the old adage that what goes around comes around isn't just a cliche. It's a way of life or death, especially when it comes to our water supply. I'm Bill Curtis with Earth Matters.
We Wishing you had a green thumb or want to learn more about sustainable gardening outdoors and in? Expert Green Divas and Dude Gardeners share tips for everything from composting to growing herbs in your kitchen. Listen to the Green Divas Green Thumb for low-stress gardening tips.
Okay, we're on with our favorite Green Diva with the Green Thumbs, Allie Hoffman. Hi, Allie.
Hi, Meg.
So, gosh, like, I'm telling you, my entire world changed when the sun started coming out a little bit more here. I'm that easy that all it takes is, and I'm like, oh, yay, let's go party outside.
Oh, I know, and things are green, and that fresh green where they look like the world has started over again.
And
it's just gorgeous.
Even, you know, last time we talked, it was the beginning of March, and, you know, but even then I could hear the spring birds coming. Now it's like, oh, everybody's just so excited for the big muddy meltdown.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's thrilling. And there's a lot to do in the garden, too. So we're all outside quite a bit right now.
Yes.
So you're hearing more of the birds that are singing to each other about it's time to have babies.
And
our owls, you know, our owls are already sitting on babies or feeding babies.
Wow.
So it's amazing how
well,
soon they start.
Better them than me. So.
Yeah, me too.
So let's talk about April gardening. I know there's a lot more we can do outside now.
Well, in April, you know, there's so much to do. I could talk for a few hours, and I'm sure you and your listeners don't want to hear that. But there's three things I'm going to talk about as usual. First of all, let's remember that April is Arbor Day. This year it's Friday, April 24th.
Yes.
So that means it should be a clue to everyone, and I'm sure it is, that it's a great time to plant a tree.
Uh-huh.
And also a great time to plant a shrub.
Okay.
So choose something that you would like. I have some shrubs that are bigger than some of my trees. I have a bottle brush buckeye.
Wow.
That is going to be 10 feet by 8 feet by the time he gets to be mature. And I have, you know, red maples, Japanese maples that are much smaller than that. So it's,
yeah.
They're all different sizes and shapes, but April is the time to make a selection and plant a tree.
Okay.
And if you can plant a native tree, that would be great.
Okay.
That's going to help the environment as well. Just make sure that you're choosing a tree that is sited properly. You want to choose something that likes the soil where you are and likes the weather and isn't going to get too big and overgrow your house and...
I don't want to get off topic here, but I just talked to somebody else about GMO seeds and buying plants, like if you're going to go to, you know, Home Depot or something, and finding plants that have not been treated with, you know, this.
Yeah.
Do they do that to trees as well? Is there a way to make sure that you're planting a bee-friendly and pollinator-friendly tree?
Well, there's a lot of research online. If you go to your county extension office for your state, so in our case it's the University of Illinois extension office.
Okay.
There's a lot of helpful user-friendly information available that you can read and find out what's a native tree in my area, what will the tree do, how big will it get, what are its good characteristics, what are its poor characteristics. And a lot of times, you want to find a tree that's grown in the area.
Okay, yeah.
So, if in Home Depot, in some cases, I'm sorry to say, the big nurseries are in, you know, on the northwest coast.
Yeah.
Because they can grow trees in two or three seasons. We can only grow them once here.
Yeah.
You know, so they're going to be more expensive if they're grown in the Midwest. But they're also going to be acclimated to our insects and our weather conditions and our soils. So I think if I'm going to spend $1,000 on a tree by the time I buy it and get somebody to plant it for me, if it's a decent sized tree, which you don't need to plant a big tree, you can plant a little tree, but by the time you plant a tree, I want to choose one that I'm not going to have to treat for some kind of disease every year for a lot of money, and I want to choose something that's going to live for a long time. So I don't think I'm going to go to Home Depot and spend $100.
Good. Okay. But
I think I'm going to find something that's grown by a local grower.
But do we have to be concerned about...
Yes.
Okay.
The bottom line is yes. We should all be concerned all the time.
But about the question of GMO seeds or treatments or stuff
I don't know
like
about
that.
GMO.
Okay.
I don't know about genetically modified seeds used for trees.
Yeah.
Most trees that are grown from tissue grass.
Yeah, that's true.
So, for example, they'll find a tree that's doing something that's naturally resistant to a particular pest. Like there's some elm trees that a scientist has found in his 30 years of work that are naturally resistant or appear to be to the Dutch elm disease. And so he has propagated those trees and...
Which is different. I'm talking more about concerns about like, what, you know, because we're learning about these other seed treated things that, you know, when you go to buy vegetable plants for your garden, you have to be kind of mindful.
I would look for organic seeds,
which
are more expensive, but I think you're safer if you start off with an organic source.
And for flowers as well. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Especially, we were talking about the pollinators and how much harm these things are doing, the neonicotinoids or whatever they are.
Yes.
All right. Just wondering if they were, you know, applicable to tree purchases and shrubbery.
I think you have to be really careful. I mean, it's possible that you could get some, I don't want to badmouth every possible thing, but, you know, if something is cheap and easy, it's usually not going to be right. I mean, you have to really look at it, turn it upside down and look at it carefully.
So do homework is what we're saying.
Yeah. Maybe you should buy an organic seed and grow it yourself.
Yeah. All right. So do your homework. Now, what else are we doing? We only have another minute or so.
Okay. The other thing you're going to do is plant all your cool season vegetable crops. So if you don't have to wait until it's time to plant tomatoes, which is not for another 6 weeks here.
Okay.
You can plant lettuce, peas, onions, radishes, spinach, kohlrabi, carrots, rhubarb, cauliflower, ornamental grass, ground covers, vines.
Wow. Okay. So we've got lots of things we can do.
Perennials, you can divide your perennials. You can,
yeah.
At the end of the month, start buying them. So there's tons of things you can plant. And the other thing I do a lot of in April is pruning. I'm pruning spring flowering shrubs right after they prune so that they'll do better next year, and I'm not cutting off next year's flowers. I'm pruning, I'm just pruning a lot. So.
And is this when you would put some compost on the, you know, the soil beds before things really start popping?
I would mulch everything. I'd pull the mulch away from the winter, clean things up, divide them if I'm going to, and then I would put composted leaf mulch myself.
Yep. Okay.
Because it's a dressing and a food at the same time.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then it'll look beautiful, and you know, you can proceed on with your other 5 million tasks for the month of April.
Well, I know, as always, you will give us a very wonderful and thorough post with directions, which I bookmark.
I'll do my best.
I bookmark all these months because then I'm like, what am I doing again? What am I doing again?
Well, and I'm trying to change the emphasis from year to year because I'm looking at last April and we were all just getting over the terrible winter. So this year it's much more friendly. So.
Yay. All right. Well, Allie, as always, thank you, and I'm looking forward to playing in the garden.
My pleasure. Have fun.
Inspired to grow more organic stuff? We are. To learn more about this Green Diva's Green Thumb episode and all kinds of other great green information, visit thegreendivas.com. That's T-H-E, greendivas.com.
Green Divas get to talk to so many inspiring people, who each in their own way is helping us find a deeper shade of green. Here's just one of them. Enjoy.
Well, Well, I am so pleased to finally, and there's a backstory to that, finally, be speaking to the beautiful Summer Rain Oaks. She has been a model. She's been in the fashion industry. She is an entrepreneur. She did co-found Source for Style. But, you know, she's getting into the food thing, which we're all into the food thing. But I want to hear from her what she's getting into now. Hi, Summer.
Hey there. How are you?
I'm great. You know, there's so many. You've done so many really innovative and creative ways to help raise awareness for environmental issues. I looked at your Twitter and that beautiful image of you with the bees. You know, I'm like, okay, she's so cool.
I think what I love, if I'm being honest with myself, is what excites me is getting into industries and ideas that have nothing to do with the environment or seemingly have nothing to do with the environment, and kind of like immersing myself in those industries and understanding the psychograph of people within those industries. And fashion was a first step for me. I mean, I grew up as an environmental scientist and entomologist, so the fashion world was a far cry from what I was studying, but it's really informed me in ways and allowed me to kind of branch out and bring kind of an idea of health and wellness into the world of fashion and beauty at a time when it wasn't really being thought of in that way.
Well,
I
have called the fashion industry like the poster child for bad environmental behavior. And, you know, obviously there's so much more awareness since, you know, you and I have been talking about this for a long time and people are catching up to us. And, of course, now, you know, we're moving on to some of these other issues that are under the radar about food and different industries. So what is catching your attention now? Where is your passion going?
Well, you know, my background is more of as an ecologist and systems thinker, so all of this I always feel is very connected. But food, health, and wellness has always been something on my radar. It just so happens that I chose the fashion world to begin with. But you know, moving from what we wear to what we eat was a natural transition, and it kind of, in a way, fell into my lap. One of my really good friends out in San Francisco started a company called Good Eggs, and it's a farm-to-fridge grocery delivery service. And he asked me if I would help with the launch out here in New York, where I'm based. And so because it's such a disproportionate part of my time now, it's kind of informed the rest of my creative projects to be more related to food, health, and wellness, which I'm open to. Like it's something that really resonates with me that I feel like I practice on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And now I've been able to create and more in that space and to figure out like how to bring health and wellness to more folks, not only through Good Eggs, but, you know, I've been kind of playing around with the project called Sugar Detox Me, where, you know, I've always had this sugar tooth, like, who doesn't? I almost want to blame it on my mother, which is terrible to say, but I was like, how come my brother doesn't have a sugar tooth and I do? And my mom was like, wow, I was so craving oranges when you were in my belly. And she's like, I would eat like 3 dozen oranges. I was like, great. I was getting like this sugar, you know, this sugar pathway right through my mom, and here I was. But I don't know if that is to be true, but I do have a sugar tooth, and I was like, you know what, I really want to empower myself to eat healthier and not be so reliant on sugar, and
right.
And so that's been cool, because now I'm, you know, really putting an emphasis on that, and I found that a lot of people have the same issue as I do, and they've been tuning into what I've been doing at, like, you know, sugardetox.me, and following the journey and contributing to some of the recipes, and like, we're empowering everyone who's coming in is empowering one another
yeah.
to to be a part of the journey, and that's really wonderful.
Well, I think it's incredibly important for so many reasons. I think it actually has a psychological and community impact ultimately. I mean, years ago in the 80s, I was part of this group called the Center of the Light, and we're all like doing healing and studying healing and all kinds of cool things. But one of the things we talked about a lot back then was that sugar makes people aggressive.
Yeah, I mean, we now see details of how it affects our biochemical pathways, and you know, in a strange way, I would sometimes see people who are bigger or like even obese, and I'd be like, God, you know, why can't they just like put the Twinkie down? But at the end of the day, I've realized now that it's really not a lot of people's fault. I mean, if you look at the extent of food that we have and the markets being sold today, the research out there from the Fed Up was there's 600,000 foods that's being sold, and 80% of those have added sugar.
Yes.
And like, so the food industry in a way is, they know this, and it's programmed the amount of sugar in our diets to be addicted. Like, it gives us that dopamine kick. And for those of us who kind of fall into that trap, you know, you're just like, oh, geez, you know, in a way, you can't, it's very hard to kick it because we're programmed to want more of it.
Oh, and it's a dreadful addiction. I mean, it's as uncomfortable to kick as almost anything out there, man, because if you have done it, and I'm not a big sugar person at this point. I've really shifted gears, but I still have other things I try to cope with, cheese being among them when it comes to food. I'm trying to be a vegan, but so I've renamed myself a Cheegan because I can't. It's like impossible. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to put that in the universe, but I am not completely vegan, and I want to be. And because it is like an addiction, I tell you, I have like one little tiny piece of cheese, and then before you know, my whole refrigerator is filled with all kinds of cool local cheese.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's certain things. I mean, cheese also has a type of sugar in it. I mean,
it's
in some cases it's lactose, but it's not the same kind of sugar that we're accustomed to seeing in our food. But
right. But
yeah, I mean, there's certain things. I say to folks, like, you know, you have to find what you yourself know your body the best if you learn how to listen to it.
And yep.
If you feel like your body responds the best by being a vegan, then be a vegan. If your body responds best by being an omnivore that's eating like whole healthy foods, then do that.
Right.
But I think we could all be a little bit better without a lot of the sugar in our diets.
And yeah, that's like a universal thing. It just is. Yeah,
it
no
is.
Question.
And it's really interesting too, because last week or 2 weeks ago, there's the council on who advises the dietary guidelines suggested for the like first time that like sugar is an issue and we need to address this. Now whether our dietary guidelines kind of move in that direction is a whole other question in mind. But
well, you know, I mean, and I've never heard of anybody being like a sugartarian. You know, I've heard of fruitarians, oxygenarian people that just breathe air, whatever. But I've never heard anybody say like, you know, just eating sugar is really the best thing you can do.
No, nobody at all. But I have to tell you, I did do an article recently on why we may want to rethink juicing and even in smoothies to a certain degree. And, and it really hit a chord with people because people love to slurp their food down, and I for one also love a great smoothie and juice. But I think I kind of, when the juicing trend like really hit, I think I just was under a rock at that time because I was drinking one of those juice cleanses, and somebody was like, "Oh, are you on this cleanse?" And I was like, "No, I'm about to grab myself a burger or something." And I didn't realize that it was supposed to be a meal supplement. And I was like, "Whoa, I don't feel full after this."
Yeah.
And then I did a little bit more research, and I saw the amount of sugar in some of these cleanses. And I was like, "Oh my God, this is five times the amount of sugar that you should be having in a day."
Yeah.
Because a large amount of it was like beets or fruits and so, and you know, for people who drink like, you know, primarily veggie stuff that is green veggies. It's a different kind of thing. But
yeah.
I recently wrote an article about it, and it's very, I realize it's very touchy. It's very contentious at this point.
People are very attached to their smoothies. You can't have this conversation with Green Diva Lynn. She'll get, like, really, you know, agitated, you know, because, and she'll laugh along with us. But and I'm a smoothie person, but I'm really careful. Like, I only use a certain amount of fruit, and I balance it out with coconut oil and greens and, you know, stuff like that.
That's the key. That's the key. Yeah. My point really was, you know, a few different points. Like, we do remove quite a bit of fiber from food, or we destroy some of the insoluble fiber within smoothies. The soluble fiber is there, but the insoluble fiber gets a little hacked in the blender, and that like reduces flux going into our digestive tract, or in some cases if it has fructose in the sugar, it decreases, like, just from going into our liver. And so if we're having, like, lots of fruit smoothies or fruit juices, this can overload our body.
Yes.
And it's good for people who need, like, you know, who have problems with digestion and need to kind of remove some of the fiber. But I kind of got a sense that some people would be very attached to it, and I was right.
Yeah.
You got to be careful where to try it. But I do think, like, probably within, you know, 3-4 years, as more and more information is going to be coming out about, like, sugar and its effects on our bodies, and that, like, digestion really starts in our mouths, not necessarily our stomach.
Yep.
Like, it'll start to bring to light to be like, maybe we should cut back on our, you know, 6 smoothies or 6 juices a day.
Yeah, right. So I want to shift gears slightly, because I heard your podcast, Idea Nosh.
Yeah, Idea Nosh. Yeah.
It is so cool. And we're definitely going to pitch hard to get you on GDGD Radio Network, because people will really, really enjoy, our audience will enjoy listening to you. And so, yeah, tell us what's going on with that.
Well, Idea Nosh, you know, is largely inspired from a number of my awesome friends and colleagues and cohorts who are just going out there and doing big ideas that are truly changing our world. And my it kind of was inspired about, like, some of the conversations that I was having in an old podcast that I was doing 2 years ago that we did in the 40 episodes for, and I was just like, wow, you know, we're just, you know, having conversations again, really intimate details. And a lot of my friends would share, you know, their vulnerabilities, the challenges, and a lot of these folks are people on top of their game.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, these are the stories that we really need to share.
Yeah.
You know, could inspire people, not just saying, oh, how awesome you are, but, like, here are the challenges that you've overcome in your life.
Yeah.
And for me, I think that, you know, I wanted to bring that through Idea Nosh, but have it a little bit more focused on, here are the folks who are doing these big ideas that are really shaping the world to come in the next, you know, 10, 20 years. And Leland Melvin, who I interviewed in the premier podcast since it just launched, is amazing. He's the 13th black astronaut to go into space, former NFL guy.
He's a classic overachiever, this guy.
It's really amazing. But I think he's such a great person to bring on, because you know, now we have, like, the first African-American president, and here, you know, being an astronaut who, you know, a lot of us largely think, like, astronaut, as he says, like, as a crew-cut, you know, Anglo guy, is not true. You know, there's so much.
I listened to that interview, and I heard him talk about going and, you know, handing his business card to someone and having the guy be like, dude, you can't be an astronaut, you're black. And he's like, okay.
What century do you live in?
Yeah, exactly. That was a good answer. It's a good comeback. What century do you live in?
But he's excellent. He's also a host of Lifetime Child Genius, and he does a lot of work in STEAM and STEM education, science, technology, engineering, art, and math. And so I think he's a great inspiration for kids, because as I bring it across in the podcast, you know, one of the top 3 things that kids want to be is an astronaut. And so when you have somebody who's actually done it, who may like looks like you in a way, by, and I mean that by
yeah.
like your skin color, and you know, provides an opportunity to look at education in a whole brand new way. I mean, this is the guy to kind of listen to, and now he's venturing into the private sector of how we could actually bring ordinary citizens to space, which I never thought I would see that in my lifetime.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of cool. I might be a little old for that program, but, you know, my kids and grandkids might get there. I don't know.
You could always fly zero G. I mean, I'm saying it's coming within the next year or two.
So I'm not that old, man. I'm not that old.
We don't age that quickly.
No.
So I think that this is a guy to watch, and particularly for those of us who've ever looked up into the night sky and wondered what's out there.
So we have to wrap this up, and I'm sad. So I'm hoping we'll get to talk again soon. And how can people find you out there? Should they look for you? Your website, summerrainoaks.net?
It's summerrain.net. It's SummerRaine.net. And then from there, you find me on social media. So it's attached to all my social media. Instagram is SRMANITOU and all the rest.
I got to make sure we follow each other. I think we do on Twitter, but I got to check out Instagram.
I know. There's a million and one ways to follow.
Oh, it's so much fun. Well, I'm thrilled to catch up with you. I know we tried this a couple of years ago on Skype, and it was a big, huge fail on our part, and you were gracious about it. But let's now keep up, and I want to keep up with you because I know you've got a lot of great thinking into the future happening and what you're highlighting in your podcast. So keep up the good work, Summer.
Oh, I will. And then thank you for allowing me the space to be able to share it.
You bet. Anytime.
Hope you enjoyed that as much as they did. Please visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. For more fun podcasts and information on the Green Divas and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green. You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to look for this and other Green Diva Network podcasts on iHeartRadio, Stitcher, iTunes, Swell Radio, and Spreaker. Get social with the Green Divas on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Subscribe to the Green Divas YouTube channel to watch them in action. And for all the latest good green news, visit thegreendivas.com. That's THEGreenDivas.com.